Afternoon, Minister, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. We want to proceed with the second part of our meeting, which is now a committee meeting. We will just do a sum up of the work that we've been doing. For an example, what we want to indicate here is how much work have we done up to this far. I will not actually comment so that I preempt the presentation that is already before, but just to indicate that members will remember that consistently we had a standard agenda for every quarter and the issue of the bill was on the agenda. Because we knew it's critical and we didn't want last year like this was setting all issues fresh. So all other matters we've been engaging consistently over and over, you know, with the, even the names of the bill, etc., up till the stage. At the moment, what we're doing as a committee, we will take a summary of all the events and activities that took place, and Louis Sibila, the researcher, will talk to the observation that came out during this process. Thereafter, honorable members, I hope you have re-energized yourself sufficiently because we do need to look into the bill. Depending on our will to ensure that we do our work and finalize, possibly we might not will, yes. We said Z-E-A-L. Isn't it, honorable Doyle? Okay, so we might maybe not take too long, but it will depend. That one I cannot really assess. I will actually cross the bridge onto a bridge. Basically, that's where we are, honorable members. So I know it's going to be a long day, it's been long enough, but a job is a job. We have to work. And at the end of the day, we need to see how far we proceeded. Okay.
Madam Chair, if I can just ask for clarity, will this presentation already include the submissions made, or will we only be dealing with the submissions that we've had this morning afterwards?
Oh, okay. No, lastly, some of the things I captured were the things that had always been there, you know, but if there are any other new things, possibly we might talk to them ourselves. Yeah, after the presentation. But the majority of things are just known. There was a clause, this one. So there is no major, in our opinion, I'm sure all of you agree, there is just no major issue that is very, very new. And you know, we're so fortunate because this process has taken place in all the provinces, in NCOP. For us, it's just a walkover. That's the lucky part of having a bill starting in NCOP and coming to us is intersect and, you know, so ours is just to sort of flow on top or see whatever, what is that you choose as the portfolio committee to how to deal with the bill.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members and honorable minister and colleagues. I'm sitting on this seat and I'm not envying to be here, but I have to do what I'm told to do. So the outline of my presentation is as follows: the purpose of the presentation and the issues of concerning the bill and the conclusion. Let me state up front that I'm just speaking as a technocrat, if you will. I'm not saying my views in a political environment. I'm just saying what I'm observing in the bill. So I believe I'll be taken in that context. Let me start. The structure of government may be under, and this is under the employment of under employment in public administration, which is section 5. Saying the first year of government may be under different political party administration. State employees are required in terms of the administrative law to show deference to political supremacy, irrespective of which political party is running the government. But experience has shown that in provincial government and local government politics will be at play, and this affects human relations and therefore conditions of service. Again, the concern is with the sub-issue here, which goes a long way in work and non-work challenges. Studies have shown that work and non-work challenges cannot be separated from the employee, because an employee is a human being, and human beings are a totality. You cannot separate what happened in a person's psyche and what happened at work. Those things are meshed together, and it affects the same person, because he or she is a totality. Conditions of service can be good, but as soon as human relations become affected, it does not become pleasant at the workplace, and the bill cannot guarantee that it will. Coming to secondments, the disadvantage to the employee is that even if he or she does not consent, he or she will still get transferred as long as the employer justifies such a secondment. The bill does not state the duration of the secondment, which might be abused to the disadvantage of the employee. The bill should state succinctly the duration of such secondment, and the suggestion that a secondment must be for a duration of 6 months to a year, which would be liable to extension in consent of and consultation with an employee for another less or equal period. Then we come to conducting, conducting business with the state, that is section 9. What is not clear in the bill is whether the disclosed financial interest of a partner will affect another entity of state where an employee whose partner is disclosing is not employed, or it means the entire public service. If the injunction is only on the entity where the employee is working and not the entire public service, the bill must state that clearly. The designation an employee's entity, if it should be inferred, must be distinct in some way from the definition assigned to the phrase business within the state, because the state is the entire public service, is the entire state. But if an employee is employed somewhere, but his or her partner is doing business with another department, another entity, that might be a different matter altogether. So I suppose that might be looked at. It might be unconstitutional to prevent an employee's partner from doing business with the state. What if the service they provide is only tailor-made for the state, and they saw a niche market and they need to provide such a service? Will this not hamper the enterprise initiative of those who want to create business opportunities for themselves and to create employment for other people? This service provision to the state can only be assigned...
Sorry, Chairperson, just as a point of order, I'm not sure which clause the parliamentary legal advisor is reading from. I'm not... If we could have... When we talk about the partner doing business with the state.
Or if...
Which clause, sir?
Clause... I should have said disclosure than business with the state, but I think they are still under, it's still related to conducting business with the state. I'm talking about an, there is where an employee should disclose that his or her partner is doing business with the state. That is where I find it, that it could be challengeable, Honorable Minister. If it says, and the first thing leaving with that person, as if they will know to each other.
Okay, maybe let's allow you to finalize what's obviously other issues we've already passed them and seen them towards the focus. You know, there's quite sufficient focus on other matters. But can we maybe allow you to finalize what we believe that it cannot take us back where we've progressed with the discussion. We would. I just thought it would have been professional for the the advisor to actually quote what he's talking about. Laws are about clauses, but we found the clause that he's talking to. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, let me repeat. It might be unconstitutional to prevent an employee's partner from doing business with the state. Oh, sorry, I've talked about that one. Bullet number three. If service provision to the state can only be assigned to those whose partners are not working for the state, the bill might be discriminating against certain citizens who find themselves married to employees of the state. What if such partners are not conducting business with the employee's entity, but with another entity of the state where an employee has no influence at all? What happens if a business person who conducts business with the state gets married to an employee of the state and they are in the middle of a government project? Will that project be terminated soon? What cost will this be to the state? Public administration, ethics, integrity and disciplinary unit. I'm not capturing the whole name of the unit. Let me be pardoned for that. The difference between the TSC and the unit is that each institution serves a different master. The TSC reports on its function to Parliament and the unit will report to government. The unit serves to strengthen the oversight function of the government over the public administration organs of the state. The unit must be objective to report on its findings without protecting public health departments when they do malpractice. The reports that come from the Commission are objective. They are compiled independently of the state influence. Should the reports from the Commission and the unit on the same issue indicate divergent findings, which report will Parliament and the Executive accept as a true reflection of events? And my conclusion is that the Portfolio Committee must consider these issues when deliberating on the panel. Thank you.
Okay, I'll guide here in terms of the question. Thank you, Minister, for pulling those aspects. Obviously, there have been different versions of the bill. And when the Minister indicated recently, the bill that was initially put on the table went through a number of processes. And when it came, a number of other areas were no longer the same as before. I want to believe that when members engage at the moment, we do not necessarily get to the issues that are already cleaned up and where there is already progress in terms of where we are. Possibly what we need to do, are there issues possible? Let's look at particularly the public hearing and the current bill, and let's see if there are issues that we think that we need to debate and we want the minister to hear at the moment. Yes, Honourable Dukes, send it up, Honourable Maluleke, and Honourable Nyagembe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get clarity where we are, where we were going towards Thursday before we break up, or rise, as they say. I've gone through the submissions that was given on paper that was supplied by Julius. I got it from my secretary and I've read through it, and although the Western Cape province did not give it verbally, they gave it on paper, I went through it. That brings me back to the same departing point that we had on Friday, yesterday. That is that, are we just going to the missions, or are we actually going to discuss on one point what, for all these inputs from the hearing, the public hearing, are we going to put into the bill? But if you talk around it, and the very easy as it is, number B, whatever, yeah, You know what I'm talking about. Okay. If it's just going to sound like that, then I don't see any reason, you know, so we can come back on Thursday and write about it. But if we're going to, introduce some of these issues, then we must discuss now, okay, which are we going to introduce, which not. And this will take a long time. And the other thing is, there has to be drafted again into the bill, which, how this going to be done over the weekend, and it's going to be ready on Monday, because we're coming back on Monday again. So I'm just looking here at the time frame of really doing justice to all the inputs. You know, if you don't do justice to it, you're just going through the motions. And I've read that there's only, it's more than 50 paragraphs that the working paper has written. From the other inputs, I've also got some very good stuff I think we should put in, you know, to really have not a recommended document, but a complete, clear bill. Because I noticed in some of the participations, verbally as well as on paper, even in print, it is not clear, you know, that law, let's just say, law must be clear, the intention must be clear, law must be clear. So that is my question, Chairperson, where are we, because the time seems for me too short to do justice to this bill. Thank you.
Yeah, I can hear you, Honorable Dwight. Maybe let me suggest the process that we should go through at the moment. If it's fine, Honorable Mother. Yes. Okay. We did have the public hearing in the morning, and we haven't reflected that except asking the individual, the people who were presenting. And possibly it's really fair to afford the committee an opportunity to say, based on the input, you have already highlighted what you believe strong, which should also start to be noted, actually. Probably if there are issues that members want to raise based on particularly the public hearings, they can be able to do that as one. The second issue, areas where members feel strong about, they can be able to really raise that so that we can also afford the department an opportunity to interact with some of the things that really come from the public hearings, reflected strongly, before we even get into what we want to do about all of that. Is it fine that we honourable members? Honourable Murray?
Chairperson, maybe on that same point, I think our experience in some other committees, you know, if there's been a public hearing process, then the department will take that into consideration and come back and say to us, these are acceptable, yes, these are good suggestions, yes, or these are not acceptable for this and this and this reasons. And then obviously you discuss that. So I wonder, I mean, if the department cannot really respond in terms of the public hearings and the submissions made to say that, you know, which of those issues should be taken on board, which cannot be, and then justify that before us starting to discuss a whole lot of things, just for the department to come back and say, you know, we've heard what you've said, but look at this legislation or that or this or that or that, and that's why it cannot be there. So, I mean, that's the process that we've gone. That's how we got, you know, the bill as it is at the moment. So maybe they must respond, because I know that there's also, there's many small issues that I think that the bill should be dealing with, like emissions, for instance, you know, which is not a major thing about the bill, but it's a change to the bill. So in other words, it cannot be, you know, B55B. That is proceeding. So there must be other, and I think the reference is what we want is a cleaner copy. You know, before it must be the cleaner copy that we eventually approve after printing and everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sir President. Good afternoon. I wanted us to make sure that we are no longer in the morning or in the afternoon.
It's so sleepy.
It can't be bad. Okay. So I think we had public hearings. There's no argument about that. and the part of what Honorable Mare raised, I agree with, is the department now has been given an opportunity just to reflect on the submissions, whether it's verbal or certain submissions, in order for the department to clarify itself. Because we're sitting with the bill that is already coming from the National Council of Officers. And if it was the bill that started with the NA before and then went to the NCOP and then come back, it was going to be a different story. But now I think on the basis of the presentations in the public hearing, not watered down what has just been presented now, but to debate what has been presented, I think the process should be then the department comment on the presentations. And then after the department has done that, if then we believe as a committee that there's one or two issues based on what the department is responding to on the presentation, if we then feel that we need to debate this issue, we debate that issue, and then go to clause by clause. I think as also the program directs us, because the last item in terms of the program is for the committee to go clause by clause. But if then we feel that after listening to the response from the department that there are issues that we think need to better clarify ourselves on, I think we can do that. Not just speaking only what Mr. Biela presented. It's fine what he has presented, but then if we can give the opportunity to the department to include on what Mr. Biela has presented, including all the entire presentation that were made, and then thereafter we look whether there are issues that we can isolate for discussions, and then immediately after that we go to cross by cross. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. I think we all agree, yeah? We all agree. Yes, well, we have progressed to giving the department an opportunity to present. I would really want us to keep that spirit of agree until the end, please. Okay, we have highlighted issues that, Honourable Minister, if there are issues that you really want to raise on the public hearings and maybe even think that they've been entered, just to clear the air over to you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm trying here to find a document that was presented to you right from the outset so that we are all at one about the processes that we have taken so far in relation to the bill. Alvin, it is a document we presented at the first sitting of this portfolio committee, so that which took them through all the submissions that we have had. Because what we want you to understand is that the bill is a product of a whole lot of submissions that have already been received and fitted into the bill. By the time it comes to Parliament, you've got to understand that there has been this wide consultation. And Alvin had a document here and which indicates the level of extensive consultation that we've had. We thought that it would be important for you to put this at the back of your mind so that you understand why it is that when the bill started off at 168 pages, we now have 17 pages. And most of what we are hearing and have been hearing are repeats of what we have been dealing with all along. So it's not like we're starting from scratch. It's not like this is the beginning of the bill. The bill has been running for quite a while. Do you have this document, Alvin? But anyway, we'll come back to it, just to give you the scope of what has been covered so far. But specifically for today, if you can please, the Chairperson. I will ask the department to come in as and when they feel that they'd like to interact with the process or give further clarification. But before we do that, I just want to ask to go, all members here, you got the bill, could you please go to clause number 9? It's a very important clause which has just been touched on by the first presenter here, because I think if we don't start there, then we're going to have a general problem that we would not be able to overcome. If you go to the slide, sorry, Lungisa? Lungisa, could you go to the slide you're presenting over this particular clause? Disclosure of conducting business with state. Right. Can I read this chapter? In this section, and in section 9, employee includes persons contemplated in section 12A of the Public Service Act and a person performing similar functions in a municipality. An employee may not conduct business with the state or be a director of a public or private company conducting business with the state. 3, a contravention of subsection 2, which is when an employee contravenes that he is not allowed to do business with the state, it is an offence, and any person found guilty of the offence is liable of fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, or both such fine and imprisonment, and constitutes serious misconduct which may result in the termination of employment by the employee. So long there is one that is seems to be the issue at issue now. An employee must, in the prescribed manner, disclose to a relevant head of the institution all his or her financial interests and the financial interests of his or her spouse and the person living with such a person, if they were married, as though they were married to each other, including shares, sponsorships, and etc. And it goes on to say, failure by an employee to comply with the obligation referred to in 1 constitutes a misconduct. It seems to me that, you've conflicted what is the intention of the bill of an employee and the declaration of the interests of the employee's spouse or friends or family. The reason why a disclosure of financial interests is important is so that state is able to ensure that there is no conflict of interest. That is the only reason. It's a matter that was raised by Marie yesterday to say, but why don't you include a partner? And you explained that it is actually unconstitutional, we wouldn't have minded. But in all the negotiations we had and the state law advisors, I must say at the outset that Ms. Amber Daniels and the Deputy Surya have been excellent in the support they have given us. They've really spent every working hour with us going through this. But the intention of the relationship that the employer has with family is for us as a state to protect ourselves from conflict of interest. Now, allow me now, please, to go to some of the responses that we would like to make in relation to the submissions that were made this morning. This morning, what was made easy for all of us is the fact that most of the people who came here agree with it all. And I would have thought that the greatest asset we have, that they did agree with us. They felt, however, that the earlier version of the bill covered them better than this version of the bill. The unfortunate thing is that we've had to concede quite a lot where there was an interpretation that perhaps matters were unconstitutional. So the bill that we have before us now has gone through the test of the state law advisors, and it is in every way certified to be constitutional. And therefore some of these matters are very important, but unfortunately we've had to forego them because in some cases they have been contentious and in some cases they have been unconstitutional. Nehao is supporting the bill. Nehao is very concerned, like Mbisi is, about the working environment of a particular person, and they suggest, therefore, that a secondment of staff should be linked to a specific assignment and time-bound. We agree with that. And in agreement with that, we propose that this is part of what will be in the regulations. This is a framework legislation. It lays the framework, and everything else of the details that will go with it will be in the regulations. They go on to they go on to say they do not, they would like the bill to indicate whether or not payment in kind is a financial interest for an employee. And I think when the gentleman was here, he was asking about what about the tip which he will get when he drives somebody to the airport. That is a detail that we would, if we found is important, we'll put in the regulation. But it is not fundamental to the bill itself. He goes on to talk about Chapter 6, which is Ethics, Integrity and Discipline. And their suggestion is that we do not indicate sufficiently whether, you know, we are giving the necessary support to whistleblowers. They've been very concerned about whistleblowers, so we have most of the other agencies that have come in here. And we tried to indicate, and we would like to explain to the portfolio committee that this is very thoroughly covered in the law that is in the domain of the Minister of Justice. Our biggest problem is it has been pointed out to us that with the incidence of reporting whistleblowers reporting is going down. That is not a legislative matter. It is a matter of finding out what is the pattern and what is the cause of the pattern. And perhaps there's something wrong that we're not doing. We're not protecting whistleblowers either in the way that they report, and we will look at that. But that is not, in our view, of essence in the functioning of the integrity and disciplinary structure. Chairperson, the bill that I'm referring to, which is which deals with whistleblowers and which protects whistleblowers, is under the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. And the regulations were done in consultation with the Minister of Public Service and Administration in terms of Section 10.4 of the Public Protected Services Act of 2000. And this is where perhaps we might want to strengthen the protection of whistleblowers. Chairperson, that is what we picked up from the from NAHU, and we are really happy with the support that they've given us. And the letters that they have brought before us are matters that we find important, and we would like to propose that we take them on board and make sure that they are incorporated in our regulations. May I continue? Okay. We had a submission, Chairperson, from the Open Democracy Advice Center. We're getting a bit more gender sensitive in this country, and it was very good to see that women are the predominant factor that is concerned about issues of democracy and issues of ethics and all of that. And we were very happy to note that. The Open Democracy Center are supportive. But again, this is another entity that feels that the earlier version of the bill was better. We feel so too, but that is just an emotional matter that we can live with. And they suggest that perhaps government can play a different role and allow that there is a more proactive relationship with public. Instead of us supplying information, perhaps we could get information from our citizens. And this is a matter that was dealt with quite extensively in the bill when we were dealing with the tourism centers. We did have the tourism centers in the bill, and this is a matter that was covered in that. But because we, in the NEDLAC process, had come into a kind of understanding that this is a matter that we would need to remove from the bill, we have removed it from the bill. But we are cognizant of the fact, and we will structure our interaction with with our society to ensure that the basic values and principles of public administration take the on-board a proactive citizen. This is also part and parcel of what we do in our performance assessments with the president. The reporting cycle for public administration is outcome 10 or 12, outcome 12. This is very clearly spelled out in outcome 12, and it is very well covered in the way that we conduct business. It must not be covered in the legislation because it is a daily and routine matter that we are dealing with as opposed to a principle. The ODAC also commends the referral of corruption cases to law enforcement agencies by the unit, and they think that it should be dealt with properly under the Combating of Corrupt Activities Act of 2004, and we agree with that. And we go on to say that the bill makes provisions for reporting of corruption to the law enforcement agencies. But we have got the entity that we have established, which is the ethics and whatever long term we have, to deal with the administration of an individual, especially in terms of the discipline within the public service, even as the matter is being dealt with by law enforcement agencies. The ODAC recommends additional measures to encourage disclosure of act of impropriety in the public service. This is already covered in the law. And if ODAC feels that it is not properly covered, we do have what is called the General Code of Ethics, Code of Conduct of Public Service. It was also pointed out by the group that we have a public service charter where these matters are dealt with. So these matters have been dealt with very extensively, various other pieces of regulations and prescripts that we have put together. That is what we have picked up. They recommend that we should use the ICT to access government services more proactively, and that matter is covered in Section 12 of the bill. Section 12 is 14D of the bill. That's what we picked up from the ODAC. We welcomed their inputs, and we will make sure that these matters, which largely lie in the domain of how to, will be captured in the regulations. Chairperson, may I go on? Then we had the Professor Franks. Professor Franks has given us a very good narrative. We've asked him if it is possible for us to publish this, and to give the necessary permission. And basically, he's brought to our attention things that we should be cautious about as a state. And with his vast experience, having taught public administration, having been in Limpopo, he's very concerned about the thin line between politics and the interference of the political terrain over the administration, and we are very cognizant of that, but he was not proposing that we change anything in the bill. He came to actually indicate that perhaps we could do things better. We could conduct dialogue with the public a little better, we could do it more often, and we are open to that, but it's not a legislative matter, it is a matter of how we conduct our business, and we're very grateful that he came, and we would like to publish his submission, which is a very good one. May I go and check this? Okay. I'm just trying to make sure that we have been taking meticulous notes of each and every matter that was brought to us. We took the time during lunch hour to actually check against the law. So this is why I'm taking my time, that we're not rushing Honorable Tutoji's fourth wife. We have actually taken time. We've been with this bill for as long as I can remember. There hasn't been a bill that has been dealt with as meticulously and as thoroughly as this one. Then we have the Western Cape administration. Strangely, the Western Cape provincial government supports the bill. I mean, I could get some kind of applause from the DA over there. No? I am still going to continue. I'm just talking about the bill that is. They support the bill. And I need to say at this point that the bill was published last year in May with a closing date of the 30th, which is a normal requirement, of the 30th of June. We got a very extensive input from the Western Cape to say, we would like you please to consider the possibility of extending this by a month because we would like to engage with them. And we knew we had run beyond our time. But to give them that time, we actually extended. We went to Cabinet to ask Cabinet to allow us to extend the publication of the bill and the closure of public comments for the month to allow the Western Cape to give the necessary comments. So they have had the effect of actually getting people to have more time to deal with the bill. And I'm saying this to indicate that is how far back we were willing to bend backwards to make sure that we get them on board, that we get them to understand the purpose that the Pembe occupies in our lives. They have some reservations. These reservations will be dealt with because most of them are in the purview of Menzies Melani. And it is about the definition of heads of institutions, including premiers, MECs. The bill only refers to administrative heads and not political officers. And that is indeed what it is that we wanted to deal with. We wanted to deal with the administrative part, not the political part. But the advocates in the land will deal with that matter more comprehensively. The provincial government is not clear why we would justify secondment. We would justify secondment as a last resort should we require the services of an individual, very rare services of an individual in an area of expertise that is not available in a particular municipality, and we would first take the route of trying to request the individual to support government by going to where his services would be most needed, and should we find that it is not possible, we would then take the route of trying to reach an agreement, and the agreement we have proposed here is a secondment. And how we have proposed that secondment should be very clearly defined in terms of time, and we're in agreement with that. And we did indicate it would be in our regulations, it should be time bound. That is why we would justify a secondment. We have a country of huge inequalities. We have a country where most of the skills abide in certain areas by virtue of the fact that those were the most developed areas of the country, and therefore we find that there are municipalities and there are areas in our country which are completely disadvantaged because they do not have the necessary skills. The Constitution is very clear that there shall be an equal and equal distribution of resources of the state, and these resources are personal resources. That is why we justify as a convent. It would be in extraordinary circumstances where that particular individual would be needed for a particular time to do a specific assignment. The Western Cape wants to know whether this bill does cover SOEs. We did indicate right from the beginning that the area that we are covering right now in Penn Bill is administration of state of state. We are not yet going to SOEs. We would want to perhaps in the second phase or in an amendment later get to the SOEs. The President is currently engaged with a of an understanding of the SOEs themselves. There has been a commission established to look into the state-owned enterprises and see how they function. So therefore, this is outside the scope of this particular legislation that we are dealing with. Right now, we're dealing with the state and these are the three layers of the state. Those were the areas that we have identified have been concerns of the Western Cape. There are also six very concerned about the current disclosure system. Yes, we are also very concerned about the current disclosure system, and we have introduced a new system, which is e-disclosure, which is part of improving the current system that we have, and any deficiencies that may have appeared in the system, we are dealing with them in the e-disclosure route that we are going. Chairperson, to the extent that we would have picked up on the matters that were brought here, those are the issues that were raised by the Western Cape. We had a very passionate plea from the representative of Corruption Watch. A very passionate plea from Corruption Watch to say, but why did you ever change the bill? The first bill was so much better. And we couldn't agree with her more. But that is democracy. If we find that, in fact, some of the issues that are placed before the bill have challenges in them, the responsible thing is to remove them. And that is what we've done. We found in our interaction with the Cabinet that Cabinet felt that it would be duplicating to have all these services around corruption all at once, and therefore the suggestion that we have this unit. But nothing prohibits this unit from doing the work that in fact we would have wanted to do, which is ensure that we can get to the root of corruption, especially where public services are concerned. We may have changed the name, but the purpose will remain the same. We're extremely concerned about corruption in our country. We are extremely concerned about making sure that it does not take root in the public service. Corruption Watch is also very concerned about the fact that we have removed the cooling off period. The cooling off period came under severe attack and neglect, and in legislation where labor is concerned, NEDLAC is a very important partner, and unless we get a certificate from NEDLAC on all the issues that we agree on, the bill would not have been able to serve before Cabinet or Parliament today. So at that point we withdrew. It does not stop us in any way within the ethics area to ensure that in the regulatory framework and in the code of conduct of the public service and in the public in the charter, these matters are not dealt with. We've got a school of government, and part of the school of government is to make sure that we can create an ethical, professional, effective and efficient public service. And underlying that is teaching our public servants how to interpret the law, what their responsibilities are, and what we expect of them. So most of the matters that you're concerned about, we will cover in our syllabus, we will cover in the reorientation of the new public servant that we want to have. Chairperson, I do not know if there are any other matters to raise this morning that would be of the kind of significance that would make us want to go back to the legislation. But we've listened very carefully. We're extremely grateful for the time that has been given to this and the advice that has been given to us, and most of it is about how we can do things better. It is not about the principles of administration, and we take a note. We will do things better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. We have had honourable members say it covers all other areas and the processes that had been undertaken up till the time when we were at this point. The public hearings done by the department, consultation with NEDLAC, the NCOP process, which goes to all other provinces, including the National Assembly public hearings this morning. Surely, I'm sure, a huge scope of work has been covered, and we can't complain about consultation. Okay, two hands are up. Honorable Nyakembe.
Thank you, sir. I just want to find out from the department, and during the presentation of the ODAC, OGAC, Open Democracy Advice Center, with regard to fines, they made a point which I raised a question to them as to whether will they be comfortable if that can be taken care of in the regulations. Now, I didn't have you, maybe I was outside then. I think for me it's important to be clear that is something that has to be taken care of, whether by form of a policy that the department can establish or if permissible, it can be dealt with in the regulations. So that's the only point that I wanted to establish, Chairperson. Thank you, boss. Oh, last one is, I think I heard the minister with regards to the presentation by professor that they can even publicize that. I think that presentation was being made to us, Parliament, not to the department. And they haven't had an opportunity of being exposed to that presentation just because they are here.
That is Mr. Technician, this is what if I agree with him? Okay. Honourable Mara's hand is up.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Minister, I just want to say that, you know, the Western Cape supports the principles of the bill, and so do we. That doesn't say that they support the bill. Because, you know, the objectives of the bill, the principles and the objectives, there's no problem with that. You know, we know it's in the lines in between where sometimes the problems are. I've picked up quite a number of things that and even I have, after a discussion yesterday with Advocates of Milan, has put something in writing, which I was given the invitation to do. My question is just that, I mean, are we saying, in terms of what the minister is saying, is that this is the goal? All that we have tried to do now is to sort out issues that go into the regulations. Because, I mean, I think it must be clear whether you know, there can still anything be added to this bill. And I think the Honourable Dutoy has asked, you know, the process. If not, then please tell us. Please tell us if you know. You know, Minister, you asked yesterday what is our objective and purpose. So let's ask you and the department, you know, are you prepared to change anything in this bill or not? Because then, you know, it's we don't have to go through everything, because there will be so much time for regulations still to sort out that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think if we put that question to the minister, it will be very difficult. She can't answer on behalf of the committee. I suppose probably we need to ourselves deliberate what we want to do with the bill. And I can see that I'm responding to the same answer or something else. Honourable Nyeke and Honourable Williams in that order.
Thank you, sir. No, exactly you what you just indicated is exactly what I wanted to do. Because what the department has been doing now was the responding of which they are entitled for that. On the submission made in the public hearing, what is their view? Even if they might have a particular view, but it is not sitting comfortably with us as Parliament, we must not take that. So it's not up to them. The bill, they started the bill, they went to Leblanc, they went to the public, it came to Parliament, it went to NCOP, it's back to us. Those public hearings that were taking place today, and the written submission, were not submitted to the department, they were submitted to Parliament, to us. So it's not for them. And if, supposedly, we don't have an issue that we would like to argue on in terms of the presentation that are in front of us and to the responses from the department, but not to ask questions to the department, it's not presented. It was responding, and that is up to us. Or if we don't have, the next item is clause by clause. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I agree fully with my colleagues. So, basically, just to reiterate, the Minister's got no say in how this legislation moves from here now. It's the Portfolio Committee and from the Parliament. It has to be said, and said all the time, the Minister's here to assist the process or to give us advice. but it's actually up to this committee. So for the VHM further, the minister's got any say is incorrect. Thank you.
Okay, then, Minister, I would really want to thank you and the department for the hard work, all the charity, and also sitting through, listening attentively, and making sure that all other issues presented are dealt with. Now, honourable members, here is the bill before us. Would you like me to take you clause by clause, page by page, and how would you like me to proceed? My intent is to take you clause by clause. Honourable Williams?
Yes, Chairperson. I agree. I also proposed it. Senior proposed to go clause by clause, but we must also bear in mind that the bill has a name and a description, which isn't a clause necessarily, so we need to go through that on the first page as well, in the preamble. So recognizing that that must all be adopted as well, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable William. It shows that you've been busy with bill. Okay. Honourable members, okay, let's start with the first page as guided, as already contributed by Honourable Williams. The bill has a name, of course, as Honourable Williams has. It was really need to adopt, starting from the first page. Any issue that you want to raise there? Any mover for, or any, how do you want to proceed? Are you all comfortable with page one?
Good question. I don't think clause by clause is going to work for us. Because it's clear that the contribution of the Western Cape Director General on his submission to the committee on paper is not going to be entertained. And made clear that what we agree with and what we are not agreeing with and what is unclear, and I don't know how many members have read the few pages that is written. So if you were to ask people who have read it what their comments on it is, because we'd like to see those charges in the bill. And I'm old enough to understand that you're not going to do it. So as far as I'm concerned, you can excuse me. I can come back on Thursday. Because I'm not going to go through this clause by clause and there's going to be no change. And if the Western Cape's Director General's submissions are not going to be entertained, what am I doing now? I want to know. I don't know about you, Kourous. Can I go?
Can I just add, Chairperson, if you have read through that document of the Western Cape, there's even been reference in this, in terms of what I've said in the past, there's reference to the Systems and Structures Act, and what that is referred to and where there's possible contradictions in this act. So if, and obviously there's been very clear things on secondments and that, so I had thought that after yesterday and the invitation that was given to me on sending through information, that at least that would be entertained. It seems like it's not going to be entertained, because in terms of the invitation that was sent through to Zola for her and for Epitheta Milani to consider, it seems like it was not. There is quite a number of things in some of the submissions, mine and the Western Cape, and even in Mr. Bayera's as document here, that clearly indicates that we must sort out certain issues and clauses in the call. And obviously the process that you normally work, after you have done that, then you go clause by clause. Because does it mean that you're going to stop to every clause and have a long discussion on that? Or is it purely, you know, let's go, can I get a proposal? If that is the case, then obviously we are happy with the process, because then it just goes through, and then we must clearly ask you to minute that you are not happy with the process.
And I
clearly want to tell you that if that is the case, that you must minute that we are unhappy with the process.
I don't remember.
Because we haven't dealt with the government. You have talked nothing about school of government. You know what we have discussed in the past. We have nothing on the school of government. So it means that there's no opportunity to discuss that. So we must now wait for, hopefully, regulations will deal with the issues that we are concerned with. Sorry, and I mean, you know, that's why I've asked, and I ask you. Maybe you
can
give me an indication.
Yeah, I think but before that, I don't really understand why members have to behave that way, because if there are issues they are concerned about, those issues can be raised. We actually undertook all this process of putting issues, getting clarity from the department in order to see if there are areas we aren't comfortable with. There is nothing wrong if members feel that they want strongly to either object on other areas or insist that should be done or not. But the manner in which now the members are doing, throwing tantrums is not going to help this process. We wouldn't, I wasn't expecting that kind of an attitude. We are then dealing with, if I ask the members how would you like me to deal with this, the members agreed that I must take it off by law. And I didn't know that those were harboring a disagreement, because they were ready to raise that. If in the process that you suggest the other one, yes, I mean, we're willing to go along as a committee. We don't want to actually sideline you. You're part of this. Honourable Nyakem, your hand has been up. The other members' hands were up. I'll come back to you, Honourable Dwight.
Thank you very much, Shazan. Immediately after Mr. Biela concluded his presentation, a proposal that I submitted, we can go and listen with the text, if it is. I suggested that rather than isolating the presentation that Mr. Biela has just presented, let the department be given an opportunity to respond not only on what Mr. Biela has presented, but the entire submissions, in writing and also orally. And then, after the department has commented on those, and then it's up to us whether we identify issues that we need to better discuss. Now, that has happened. You ask a question as to what then we do now after the department has responded. Now, after we have agreed that now, look, it looks like there's nothing to discuss. So therefore, let's go to the next item, which is clause by clause. Now, when you are starting with clause by clause, now there are threats of me being accused of the presentation of the Western Cape and our presentation, what we said yesterday. That is an indication that this was open, and then every member had an opportunity to argue any political voice, which they did. Then we can't then speak on one issue time and again. But however, because the ANC does care, Jefferson, if they have issues, let me address those issues, we are here to debate with them. Even if it means that we'll debate up until 1,200 hours is fine with the ANC. But one thing that I don't like to say, which I think Honorable Detroit must withdraw, to say, you must ask how many members who have read the submission of the Western Cape. I think that is to undermine our integrity here. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Minister, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is question and just a comment. I'm not aware that DGs were requested to come and give submissions to SNETA. I'm not aware that, I don't know why the DG of the Western Cape was not here. There were submissions, I mean, we would have listened to the presentation, not unless perhaps they were not to come. No, okay. May I then proceed to say that to read the introduction of the submission from the Western Cape. The Department of Public Service and Administration published bill, the previous bill, for public comment on the 31st of May. Provincial comments are submitted on the previous bill, raising concerns regarding its constitutionality. The bill introduced shows that the previous bill has been substantially revised taking into consideration the concerns raised by the Western Cape. I cannot understand beyond this what it is that we're expected to do. We came here today to listen to anything over and above that. I have no reason, nobody has given me any reason why the Western Cape is not here to give that submission. But we have taken into consideration all the submissions that were given us. It's been confirmed here in the introduction. We've gone from 168 pages to 17, most of that in concession, bending over backwards for the Western Cape, because we are one country. I therefore take great exception to the attitude of the members here. We have worked hard as a Department of Public Service and Administration to consult very widely everybody. We have taken time to make sure that we can include the concern of each and everybody who has written to us. It is confirmed here in the submission from the Western Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you, members. As a way forward, okay, you still had your hand up, and I also wanted to indicate that where members are not comfortable, if there are areas we can be able to, you can tell us this one, we don't agree with it. And where you think we agree, you must also say, yeah, we agree. But, you know, that we pull left, right, it won't be right. Or not, would you do it?
Chairperson, the introduction and the conclusion of this document from the Western Cape that I have here is only part of what is said in it. In this document is a lot of submissions, what should be done and what we support and what we do not support. And it also gives an indication of what's unclear, what's not clear. It takes a standpoint but I want to get to this last one. It says here, let's just get to it. Where's this one? Yes, Revelations, paragraph 57. It says, I'm just bear with me that you understand my point, Chairperson. It is still concerned that there are many provisions of the bill that empower the DPSA minister to make regulations and norms and standards on particular matters. The Western Cape government is not in favor of empowering the DPSA minister and department to deal with specific matters and regulations, as the consultation process is considerably less meaningful than the parliamentary process. And so it goes on. And there are others as well. I'm saying, what I'm asking, if we're going now in a process of step-by-step, section-by-section, line-by-line, I want to know from the committee, in this document, is there anything that the Western Cape submission has that they are willing to introduce into this bill? If there's anything, just tell me there is anything and we'll speak. But if there's nothing, then I have no further business here.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think it's highly unusual for the Honourable Member Tutoi to talk about what we like and what we don't like when he's talking about an input from a public hearing. Fundamentally, there seems to be a conflict of interest. If that were the case, the African National Congress could have had a representative at the public hearing, and they would have been in support of this bill. So what I would suggest, Chairperson, is that we move clause to clause, and we just continue. Thank you.
Chairperson, can I then request, the matter of point six secondment that I have discussed and that I've raised, what is the, if I can, I don't want to use the word verdict, what is then the feedback on that? I have had a long discussion, I have made submissions, I haven't had feedback, so then that is an issue that we must discuss before we can go close by close.
Yeah, I think fair enough. If you have also written it, I'm sure by now the department does have a response on the trust, or whether we could change the trust, that matter. Did you receive that written request from Honourable Mare?
I sent it to Zola last night.
Zola?
you have a copy of me with you or you want to talk to them? Okay. And Honorable Nyakem, you know, Chairperson, I'm worried the way that we are going through this meeting. We agree on something. We agreed, this committee agreed that now we're going clause by clause. And then something crops up. What are we doing, Chairperson, going back and forth? And now we have to look for a document to say this. I mean, you have to answer this special document. Then we think we're going to go through all these documents, start afresh. There was an agreement, it was seconded, someone moved for that, and it was seconded. Let's go clause by clause. Why are we moving back and forth?
Okay, Honorable Mahali, I was just following up on what we also committed ourselves to maybe the other day, and then the alpha we are. So I was trying to accommodate everyone. Honorable Nyakembe.
Thank you very much, Professor. You see, I pleaded with you, and you agreed with me, to say if is there any member that has an issue in terms of the presentation, can that member argue that point? You are ready to argue. Now, instead of that happening, we are referred to a submission that has been made. Now, strange enough, written submission were made through the committee secretary to members of parliament. Even a member of parliament also will make a written submission to the same committee that he or she is supposed to sit in and look at the written submissions, and then we must also look at his or her submission. But unfortunately, when we are given the bundle of documents in terms of written submissions to parliament, because this process is not with the department chaperones. It's not with the department at all, it's in parliament, the committee. So whoever wants to make a submission, if then will you, the committee secretary, say, can you please forward this to Mr. Melane? Then it's a private matter, it's something that has got nothing to do with this committee chaperones. Can you proceed? Because it's clear, chaperone, there is no issue that the Democratic Alliance would like to raise or have to argue in the committee. What are those issues? We have been inviting those issues. We have been told, oh, I did wrote something, you see, my, whatever, my Apple, my iPad, you see, my thing. We want an issue. What is the issue? If it's secondment, they must put their case. We are ready to argue that person.
Person can't respond, please, with all respect, that was your permission that you gave me yesterday. And you said if there's anything, please put it in writing. You, it was your ruling, so for the member to go and argue against your ruling is really unfair. And that's not in good faith. I've done it, we've discussed it, I've gone to the trouble and have a long discussion afterwards with Advocate Milani, and some of the members was with me. So if that is what we're going to deal with, then with all due respect, then that is not in good faith, with all due respect.
Okay, Honorable Malenga, I have supported you yesterday. My understanding was that why I don't understand in the bill and the presentation, the department is open for us to make us to understand what is happening, not for submissions. I supported that motion, Chet.
Okay, you know, honorable members, yeah, because we can link the two. You know, we've made some links of the department getting that, and it can be here as of now. And of course, perhaps if you want to amplify that message, you can still explain it. But they have now received it. I don't know whether, are you in a position to respond to it? Is there within the clause? It's a closed matter. Okay. Okay. No, well, because I didn't know it's in relation to what, but if it's in relation to the school of government, it is quite okay. Well, of course, it's contained here, and it's we are going to take all other issues, including all the contributions that have been here. Once we deal with those, yes, I think it's fair enough that you go through it. But the matter, yes, Honourable Maria, I accept that that's how I requested that it should be done yesterday. If you also bear with us that, yes, those are matters.
But Madam Chair, I haven't had feedback on that.
It's okay.
Because the clause by clause is...
There will be
just for the committee. And it was feedback from the department. The department is now finished. They can't become involved when we discuss it clause by clause.
Okay.
Isn't that the correct procedure?
What is inclusion? Would you like to just sum it up?
Yes, I can read it for you. I've done it as you have ruled on it.
Can I perhaps speak? Person, today?
He's concentrating on...
No, I'm not concentrating. I'm just searching for it.
Chairperson.
My view is that this is a public hearing. The reason that we have to hear what they have to say is that we have to apply our own minds to it. And we are here not to make law for us or for bureaucrats. We're making law for the people. Okay? So when the people come to us and they say, and that includes stakeholders like the province, okay, we also represent people. And when it is before us, we must apply our minds to it. And then it will go back to somebody who after we've applied our mind, we can't fill in here. The document has got to be drafted to say this is the document that we will vote on in Parliament. That's my impression. Okay? Now, I've got to the point here that I've realized that the submission from the Western Cape Director General on behalf of the Western Cape government is not going to be entertained. In other words, it's not going to be entertained.
Members, firstly, you are not on the platform because I recognize Honourable Mare. You just came in, right? Can we allow Honourable Mare to proceed? Because we were just making the outrage. Please let's not just deal with this with emotion, personal emotion. It's not so right. Okay, Honourable
Marais. The points we discussed yesterday were 6.1 secondments, and it was whether it was actually to do with the secondment without consent. It was the whole issue of, I mean, if it is as in 6.1 may be prescribed, it means that this administration might prescribe it, but the next person might say no, the act don't require from you to prescribe. I may or I may not do it. And in the case where it is without consent, that it was felt that it must be prescribed. And I think the wording that Advocate Samani and I have discussed was that, you know, it's basically an amendment right to the end of the line. Currently it says any employee of an institution may be seconded to another institution or to any other organ of state in such a manner and on such a terms and conditions as may be prescribed. Now, on that one, it was suggested that it must read any employee of an institution may be seconded to another institution or organ of state in such a manner and on such terms as prescribed. So it's now obligatory to have regulations. And 2.C, which is very much in line with the submission of our official, in the absence of consent, after due consideration of any representation by the employee, and in consultation with the executive authorities of the seconding and the recipient institution, if the secondment is justified for an initial period not exceeding 6 months. That was, and it deals with not the concerns that I've raised, but it deals with the concerns that Western Cape has raised, and then Nahawu has raised, and some other people has raised as well. So we have to apply our minds to that one, which I think is to improve the bill. And there's no ideology involved in this at all.
as on this matter, yes, okay, let me take the minister and
go through honourable members. Chairperson, please bear with me, I'm a bit confused. I don't understand why the Western Cape isn't to present. We're here in the morning, they're supposed to present in the morning. Why are we being blamed for the fact that they were not here? That's number one. Number two, we did take time to read the submission for the Western Cape. I went through it right now with you listening. We read it. So it is not true, and it is unethical for a member to indicate something that is untrue. We read it, and we went through the issues that were raised, that we picked up from the submission that we were bringing here. To say that the Western Cape submission was not entertained is absolutely not true.
Okay, the other issue is that members have indicated that immediately we can say, first it's Western Cape, it's a DA matter, then, you know, then you start to become representative of the matters that are supposed to be in the public hearing. Members have clearly said it becomes unfair for them who never had their parties representing. Maybe what's now we're squabbling about a matter that is part of the public hearing. At all, in all fairness. That means we're supposed to also get, well, I won't say EFF is not here at the moment. No. That was a presentation. Yes, of course, so this is the DG for the previous office, and it is Rene Hu. No, but now, we can all present Gauteng. We can represent, which we don't. We don't really think we want to do that, yes. So if we can run, if we can then sort of limit ourselves that way, it's not fair for the committee. The committee must have an independent mind as members. At least if you want to enter the same issue, enter them independently. Not as far as, I'm sticking to the Western Cape, we don't want to, no, it can't work that way. It's fine if the issues we pick up as members of the committee was here, none of the members should represent the public hearing. You know, yes, we can pick up aspects of the public hearing like we did at sports, and the minister has done so much. Further than that, let me take the hands in their order. I had two hands which were up, now there's another hand from Honourable Debate, and I Honourable Members helped me to get a conclusion on this matter so that we move forward. Honourable Williams, Honourable Nyakere, Honourable Detroit, in that order. And please, let's just sum up what you want to say so to focus on the business.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, earlier I proposed that we go clause by clause, and it was seconded. I don't know why we've had this little interlude here to entertain the I would basically call stalling tactics on behalf of the Democratic Alliance. And I think that we should say what it is, because they have been objecting to this bill from even when it was conceived by the Ministry. I think we should move clause by clause, and if they don't want to do it, I would propose that we hope to move clause by clause. Thank you.
Honourable
Lula is calling for a division. President, I think the I agree with what Honourable Williams has said. Because, you see, the difficulty here, President, is the National Council of Provinces is a body where provinces are represented and they had an opportunity to engage with matters. But it doesn't stop a particular province to make a submission. A submission has been made, Mr. President. A written submission has been made to this portfolio commission. Nobody was here to motivate, not necessarily to speak word by word, but to motivate that presentation. That is fine. But what is incorrect, Mr. President, is for some of us as members of the portfolio committee to argue defending the provinces which are governed by our parties. That becomes totally incorrect, because as I am sitting here, I am a member, not of a provincial legislature, I am a member of the National Assembly. Then I represent the public of South Africa. So
there would be no one then who would represent a particular pocket of the country that I represent as a member. Yes. So I'm requesting my colleagues to refrain from such arguments. Let's go to clause by clause. When we get to the point that Honorable Marais has raised on step one, when we get to that clause, Sir President, and the sub clauses of that, then he will argue his point and will argue. Because, in fact, he will repeat what he has been saying. We will repeat what he has been saying. Because in response from the department, conditions of government on the proposal that was made by Nahau, the first presenter in this public hearing, that the response from the department was that we take care of that on the regulation. Then now, what more do other people want?
Okay. Before I take your hand, Honorable Du Toit, maybe let me indicate that it's fair enough to include the issues that you've raised and you've written. It's also fair to take on board the agreement that we are now starting on those floors. So both of those issues, I'll clearly want to consider them, do or any other thing. So what we are going to do, all those matters, immediately to reach your areas, needs to be thoroughly discussed and clarified. And if not, then that's where we would have a problem. But as it stands, all the matters that you've raised within the recent ones have to be cleared. Okay. Honorable Marais, Honorable Du Toit.
Chairperson, I'm going to leave this meeting now, and I want to say thank you for the opportunity. Why I'm just not getting up and leave because it's bad manners. That's why I ask you to excuse me and I'll give my reasons. My reasons are that I'm not starting this process when I'm wanting to give much quicker for what you want. The second is that there has been an indication that the submission of from the Western Cape government is not acceptable. The submission there is not acceptable. So we look at it.
I
think that to say that a submission from the public is not acceptable is out of order because of the fact that all of the submissions are acceptable and we have considered them. You know, anybody can come here and actually say anything at a public hearing as long as it's, you know,
If you say that, Honourable Williams, it was considered unfair to say we haven't, especially in the light that the minister went through the presentation itself.
So then I ask my question again. Is there any of those submissions in the documents from the Western Cape government that is acceptable that we can put in? I want to know it now. Tell me what it is, and I will say, if there's nothing, I will go. Thank you.
That's unfair. Well, you just want us to come to only your clause. We have a bill to deal with, not the clause of Western Cape only. We have the entire bill to deal with. That is how we work in the committee. We never, in all the committees, write bills that only suit particular members. And if that's the case, Honorable Member, I think you actually have a wrong way of how bills are being processed. There is no bill in this parliament that is only processed based on a particular member's requirement, based on a provincial a position. No, it doesn't go that way. I do not agree with that. I don't want to be unprocedural. I want to remain within how parliament does its thing. I will consider all issues within the bill, but I'm not going to be pushed to focus in particular clauses. My apologies, Honourable Members, all of you. I'm not going to do that thing. So I am proceeding in terms of clause by clause. And can we start?
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to go into that. Okay, can we start, Honourable Members? The first page, we said, what did we say? We're already there.
Thank you, Sir President. I don't have anything against page one, but I just want to ask to be legally correct. As I've said from Advocate Gordon, who is a parliamentary legal advisor, that if we correct now heading to refer it to 2013, right now we are talking to the bill in 2014. I just want that said.
While she's looking at that, that still refers to Select Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. So it doesn't refer to our committee.
Yeah, you can decide, but I know that's how it's conceptualized in the NCOP. It's odd. Thank you, Chair. Okay, just to respond to the Honourable Member, the cover of the bill is correct. We must remember the bill before us has come from NCOP. So what we are addressing is the version from NCOP. If this committee does amend the bill, the cover changes. And then it will reflect all the portfolio committee details on the front. But until that stage, we are dealing with a bill that comes from the NCOP. Thank you. Yeah. Any other matter then?
Then, Sir President, I support Honourable Williams on page one.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members. Let's move to page two.
Page two. There's a hill symbol there. And all matters that goes under recognition in a dotted form. Any issues that members want to raise there? Can you then go to what the Act 6 to give effect to? That is page 2. Honourable Nkembe?
Yes, you are correct. I'm not Mr. Honourable. Yes. I move for the adoption of page 2 in its totality, sir.
Okay, I move on, and the second is in second. Okay, sorry, Honourable Malulega has already seconded, isn't it? You are late, Honourable Williams. Page 3?
Chairperson, can I just ask on page 3? I've got no problem with that top part and bearing in mind that. So all the other references to the Constitution, I think that the two sections of the Constitution that I think one would have loved to see are the two that we have referred to yesterday. I think it is 151.4 and 156.5. Now, I accept that those constitutional references there already deal with a lot of issues, but I think part of the consensus was, you know, the possible infringement of the powers of functions, which the two categories, you know, sections that I've referred to stipulate that and make it very clear that there's no uncertainty in terms of that local governments can have no fear that this will possibly infringe on their rights to, on their powers and functions and to govern independently.
That's number 1, 2, 3, 4. The weight of Section 164 of the Constitution provides that any matter concerning local government that dealt with in the Constitution may be prescribed by the national legislation or provincial legislation within the framework of the national legislation.
That is not what I refer to. I refer to 151.4, which is the national or provincial government may not compromise or impede the municipality's ability or right to exercise its powers and perform its functions. And the other one is 156.5, which is the municipality has the right to exercise any powers concerning a matter reasonably necessary for or incidentally to the effective performance of its functions.
Honourable matter?
The matter.
What is the argument?
Well, I say that I propose that those two are included in that section as well.
Honourable Williams?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I disagree with the Honourable Member. I think that we don't need to include those clauses into the and bearing in my VAT because of the fact that they do exist in the Constitution and nothing is given the Constitution. So to put them into here would be pointless. Including also the fifth good point talks to any matter concerning local governments
will be dealt with, was not dealt with in the Constitution. So therefore, those clauses that the Honourable Member is referring to are dealing with those in the Constitution, and therefore to have it here is pointless. I propose that we accept this page as it is. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I think the inclusion in the Constitution, I also concur. Honourable Megan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, also Section 151, Subsection 3 of the Constitution, which in all texts under this heading saying, and bearing in mind that Subsection 151, Subsection 3, any municipality has the right to govern on its own initiative the local government affairs of its community, subject to national and provincial legislation, and provided for in the Constitution. So therefore, I don't think that it will be correct to reflect each and every clause. But if there's a clause, in particular, any sub-clause of a particular clause, that is accommodated in terms of it. It does take into account the point that Honorable Barre is raising. Thank you, sir. And I said, I knew this
was, I'm not happy, but obviously in the majority rules. But I'm not happy, and maybe Mr. Knight has been over this.
Thank you, Honourable Maren. Can we then move to, if there are no issues you want to raise under those bullet points, five as they stand, can we then go to the table of contents? Table of contents. Which would mean that we will be finalizing our page 3. Table of contents. Honourable Nguyen.
Chairperson, I move that we adopt the table of contents.
Second. Honourable Mohali. Okay. That's the table of contents. Going to page 4 now. Chapter 5. It starts with the information and communication technologies. Honourable William.
Chairperson, we adopted the table of contents. I move the it's entirety, so I take it we go all the way down to the schedule.
Can we start with the schedule, laws repealed and amendments? Or amendments?
Chairperson, are we now with the definitions? Yeah. Definitions, yes.
Honourable
Murray. Chairperson, I think some of the things that we have discussed, and it was raised, is some of the definitions that is not clear. I've asked yesterday as well, and the previous week, about organs of state. We refer both to institutions and organs of state. If you give a definition of institution, it says it means a national department, a provincial department, a municipality, or a national or provincial government component. If you look at the definition of organ of state that's in the Constitution, means any department of state or administration in the national, provincial, or local sphere of government, or any other functionaries or institutions exercising power or performs a function, and on that goes on. It seems like there's clearly a confusion between what is an institution and what is an organ of state. Now, either we must put in organ of state as contemplated in the Constitution, which means that the definition of institution is basically included in the definition of an organ of state. But organ of state goes further than that. So it means that, you know, it can be confusing because what you say, the like institution definition, is actually part of the definition of an organ of state. And an institution should have a separate definition. Because it cannot, you know, we cannot go over and over what is in the Constitution. The other one is also, Chairperson, what we have raised in the past, and there is a definition for it of institutions. Now, we assume that in terms of the definition of institutions, it means, amongst others, municipalities and provinces. Now, who are the heads of institutions? Is that the relevant executive, in terms of the powers and functions, or is it the municipal manager, the director general, you know, who are we talking about? And I believe that one should have a definition clear to say what do we mean by head of institutions. Thank you.
Okay.
Honourable Williams.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think that the definitions are fine as they stand, and I'll argue why I think that. The term institution is particular to this Act. For instance, the African National Congress is an institution, but isn't a national department, a provincial department, a municipality, or a national provincial government component. So therefore, in particular to this Act, the definition of institution is particularly defined for this particular Act. And the urban state, as it is in the Constitution, is for the whole country. But in this particular Act, institution is in this, so it's pertinent to this Act alone, and therefore it can remain as it is, Chairperson. Thank you.
I still feel strongly, Honourable Retoy, because if that's the case, we can
note it. I differ, because, I mean, we cannot ignore, and I've asked in the past, what do we mean by organ of state? And it was not clear what we mean by organ of state. Now, the Constitution is clear what we mean by organ of state. Now, an institution and an organ of state, I don't think it can be the same thing. We cannot have the definition only for this Act, because it means that there will be confusion with other Acts if every Act now has its own definition of what is an institution. At least we must then refer in the definitions to an organ of state as well.
Honorable Mare, we are noting that, I think. Pardon?
What do you mean by noting?
We will note that we are taking most of us, we think that it does concur, according to what is actually proposed.
Other proposal? Base of institutions?
State of what? State of institutions?
The heads of institutions.
Can you then move on? I never remember. We have noted what Honourable Murray has
raised. Madam Chair, so it's your ruling that we just leave that one? Or what
no,
ruling?
We can be able to know, that I was looking at it, but I can see that Honourable Members are not raising hands, but I can see Honourable Williams' hand is up. And he had a different motivation earlier on.
So, personally, I think that the definitions are clear, and that I move that we adopt the definitions. Thank you.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't agree. It must be noted, please.
Yes. I think what we'll do, seconded by all of you, we will actually note it clearly, Honourable Murray, that you actually raised it the same way as we'll capture the same way as you're raising it. Honourable Member, to page 5. Oh, it's still definitions, ma'am? Okay, we are still with definitions. It puts us to page what? Page 5 at the bottom, ma'am? The application of the Act. Let's look at the application of the Act in totality, because it's already at the end of the page there. And it's and the objectives concurrently. Honorable Nyakembe?
Thank you, Jefferson. I hope Honorable Williams is not working out. I know that the totality of of this such application of the Act up until to page 6.
Second it? Okay. That put us in chapter 2. The basic reason principles, which is law 16, until law 13. Any issue that members want to raise there? 4, each institution, A up to I. Honorable Mali. A mover, any seconder? Seconded by Honorable Bishoko. Can we then move to chapter 3, employment in the public administration? It's starting at five, 1, 2, 3, 4, proceed to the next page 7,
up to second amendment there? Any more? Malulegemovi, any second? Can be seconding. You then go to clause number 6, which talks of seconding.
Yes, that's where I made the proposals, the suggestions.
Yeah, I want to believe that we still recall how Honourable Miller has put the proposal so that we're able to capture it. As raised by yourself, Honourable Member. Further than that, we therefore put before you, Honourable Members, the issue of secondment. Any mover? Seconder? Noting the issues.
So in other words, mine is a consider?
It is.
And what is the verdict? What is the outcome of the consideration?
Majority is going with accepting it, and they agree.
I don't think it even discusses it, Madam Chair.
Okay.
We discussed it. Because it was mentioned by Nahawu, it was mentioned by our official, it was mentioned by me. So in other words, that's it.
Would you like to start a discussion on this?
Well, I have to start a discussion. I've made the proposals. I've qualified that. So is that it?
The minister's out. Honourable Nyekembe.
Chairman, the whilst one understands the premise that Honourable Mare is moving from, because if I'm correct, he's basing his argument on section 6, sub clause 2, 3 in the May.
And 2 C's.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. Let me first deal with subsection 1 under section 6. If you look at it, Chairperson, it's a section that spells out the intention of the secondment. I think that's how I read subsection 1 under section 6. Now, if one goes to subsection 2, in particular, because one listened carefully to what Nahau was raising, and I think even during that time, a point was raised to say, in an event where it can be attended to on regulations, will they be comfortable with that? But remember, at that time, it was not an argument to agree, it was for us as MPs to understand which remark is how it's moving from. Now, look at this speech, Chairperson, saying in the absence of consent. Once it starts by saying in the absence of a consent, that means a consent was requested before that. Now there is no consent. What normally happens in an event where there is no consensus or agreement, whatever you may call it, what happens then thereafter? Then obviously you can regard that, if you are an employee, as unfair by practice and refer a dispute to an institution that will come to a determination of that particular issue. So therefore, the language in which this has been read, 2-3, it also captures that if it is justified, so everything has to be justified. And I think the issue of the time frame, the department in their responses, what has been presented, they went further to say, time frames will be captured in terms of the regulations. So I think then that is accommodating that argument of Nahau, and I think including the argument of Honorable Mare, enough, because it's not to say this will not be attended to, but there's somewhere where this is going to be attended to. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mare?
Madam Chair, no, I'm afraid the Honourable Member is wrong. I mean, it gives a blank check. Seat 1, first of all, doesn't say there must be prescriptions. It says there may be prescriptions. Yes, as I said, this administration might have the intention to certainly do two regulations. The next one might not do that because the Act don't require from you that you must have that. It's clear there. And I think what the others have said that in the case of not consent, because, I mean, we don't want the Labour Relations Act to come and impede on what we're trying to do in this Act. I think one of the problems of this process for me was there was no opportunity to interrogate other possible legislations that can have an impact on this Act or the content. And I think what we've discussed yesterday, I think there's, in my opinion, there's merit, because I think this can be to the detriment of employees, and I don't think this is right. I don't think this is fair on staff. You know, so I will certainly, you know, oppose this, and I will, you know, certainly say I oppose it, which obviously seems to me that, you know, we're going to accept this draft as it is with no amendments. So it nullifies our process, really, in what we've tried to do. In other words, you know, what I will say today, others said it today, you know, we say that we will possibly take it up in regulations, no guarantees whatsoever. So, you know, in that in mind, I oppose that. Find it to be a minute, and then would you please excuse me?
Okay, but I'm glad that you clarified that it was indicated that it will be included in regulations, so we have a clear understanding of how is it going to go about, and there was sufficient explanation done, and at a point where the other hands, Honourable Mohali? It depends on how you look at it, because you'll be moved because of the capacity you have sometimes. You have to move to go make local government to impact that skill that you have. It doesn't have to be, we move you because we don't want you here, but we move you because, they will move you because there's a skill shortage somewhere. So I move for the adoption of second.
Okay,
Honourable Williams?
I'd like to second.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members. So just take us through 7. The transfer of employees upon transfer of or assignment of function, 7.
I move Chairperson.
Second. Honourable Boshe for the candidate. Can we then move to clause number 8? Conducting business with state. Any agenda? Seconded by Honourable Williams.
Okay.
Can we proceed then to clause number 9, disclosure of financial interest? Any mover? It goes with that red A, 1, A, up to 2. Mohali moving? Okay. Any seconder? Seconded by Honourable Williams. Thank you. Now, Honourable Members, we are at chapter 4. Do you need a 10-minute break? Yes. Yeah, just 10 minutes. I mean, really. Oh. 10 minutes, three honourable members.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, are you all back? Okay. Yeah. So long as you are correcting honourable members, we are happy to proceed with business. Because I was counting on I'm happy with correcting. Let's proceed. We are starting with chapter 4, that page 8. And there is a capacity development by institution. There is also the National School of Government, that is 11. And there is directive by minister relating to education. It goes up to page 9. That is chapter 4. I'm presenting chapter 4 to few members. Honorable William.
Chairperson, I move the adoption, but I just want clarity. Must we adopt clause by clause or can we adopt chapter by chapter?
Want to refer out to any particular clause, we will go to it. I'm just putting it all of it. You can go through it.
I'm moving for the adoption of clause 10.
Okay. Only. Okay. All right. Any seconder? Seconder, Honorable Gwembe. National School of Government. Any more? Seconded, Muhali, seconded by Marulege. The directive by Minister relating to education, moved by Honorable Williams, seconded by Honorable Hofshaker. Now, Honorable Members, we are at Chapter 5, Information and Communication Technology. Oh, compulsory education requirements for employment. Williams, seconded by Malule. Information and Communication Technology. 14.
More Chairperson.
Tembe moving. Honorable Tembe moving. Seconded by Honorable Marileke. Chapter 6. Ethics, Integrity and Discipline. Clause 15. Honorable Williams, seconded by Honorable Mohan. It takes us to page 10, chapter 7. On chapter 7, norms and standards, that is the clause number 16, moved by Honorable Malilege, seconded by Honorable Bushiyoko. It takes us to chapter 8, compliance with minimum norms and standards in public administration, Office of Standards and Compliance, Clause 17. Honorable Williams moving, seconded by Honorable Mohali. Then we go down, we're in chapter 9. It talks of general regulations, clause 18. Honorable Mohali moving, seconded. Honorable Malilege Sekendi. Repeal and amendments of clause 19. Honorable Williams moving, seconded by Honorable Shoko. It takes us to page 12, where we've got a short title and commencement. Clause 20. Honorable Mohali moving, seconded by Marilege. Thank you, honorable members.
That this bill shall recall the great walkout from the DA.
No, this is the small great walkout. You'll see it at in the house next week. The big
now we're getting to page 13. Okay, is the schedule law repealed or amended? We would lay out. Bushiko, seconded by William. Now where? Page 14, honorable members, there it talks of memorandum on the objection of object of Public Administration Management Bill 2013. On the memorandum, there's a background outlined. Honorable William?
Sorry, Chief, you don't have to adopt this. It's like background information.
Even if you are not looking at me, so that's a
point.
I was just looking at me on the last page. I wasn't aware I'm through. Honorable members, in the light of having gone through all the clause by clause, page by page, line by line, do we all agree that we adopt the Public Administration Management Bill? Honorable Williams moving, seconded by Honorable Nyakembe. Honorable members, thank you very much. I would like to read a report here that needs to be confirmed by yourself. The report on the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration on the Public Administration Management Bill, B55 of 2013, in National Council of Provinces, Section 76.2, dated 7th March 2014. The Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration, having considered the subject of the Public Administration Management Bill, B55B, 2013, National Council of Provinces, Section 76.2, referred to it to pass the bill without amendments. Am I right, honorable members? Report to be considered, adopted by, proposed by Honorable Williams and seconded by Honorable Nyakembe in that report. So when I sign, honorable members, we are all together. Thank you, honorable members. Our report, legally required by the committee section, is now ready. It will be sent for the ACC. Let me quickly sign. Dr. Konyanza Tulisile Kwenyaza Chulu is with us here, who is actually the manager who is looking into those processes, also managing the committee section, and is really assisting us, has decided to be here so that immediately he takes it where it has to be submitted, and we want to appreciate your kindness, Chulo. May Chuli, thank you very much. We are just got through with the issue of the bill, and it is now sent for submission to the ACIT. We really appreciate all the work that the department has undergone up till to this stage with this bill. I'm coming. thank you very much, department. You've been dedicated. You did an outstanding work. It wasn't easy. It was severe, but at the end, that's where you are. Honorable members, it was a job to do this. Yes, I'm taking you, but when you tell people where you get your salary as well. But well done. Thank you very much. The dedication within a short space of time to be able to deal with this, ensure that the forum is at its best up to the last moment. Thank you very much. The Honorable Minister, thank you, Chairperson. It is also important that we thank you and committee for the dedication that you've given to our fair Trish. We've traveled this road with you every step of the way, and we are extremely appreciative of the amount of time that you spend. And also, it has touched us to understand that we belong to, at least I belong to, an organization that is very passionate about good governance, very, very passionate about dealing with the issue of corruption. Nothing tarnishes the image of a country more than being associated with corruption. And here the AOC has indicated we are at the forefront of dealing with corruption, and this is what is at the essence of good governance. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone. The meeting is adjourned. Those who want to spin to the airport, feel free to do so.